it doesn't matter if we stumble, he never does. Hello? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of him and not to us, that all the glory might be his and not ours. Amen? And I'm going to do things a little differently today. God bless you, Sister Zita. Good to see you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We are the Father's house. We shepherd all the sheep. Amen. Who come and are fed of the Lord. And we're thankful that God is keeping us. I'm going to be sharing briefly. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to share a full text or anything like that. Because as I was preparing, I have a sermon, but as I was preparing that this morning, I felt led to go in a different way. Amen. So I'm going to share what I have and then release you, amen, to the Lord's good care. Let's see. Let me start in the announcements. Brother Tim came up and greeted me today and just said basically just the whole theme of where I was just at is that everything is changing and nothing's nailed down. This world that we're living in, it's almost like it's a totally different world. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've never lived in a world quite like this. And its effect, I guess because I'm older, you know, I think when the Yom Kippur War, I think I was 9 years old. Was it 73, the Yom Kippur? I think it was 73. I was 9 years old. And that was the last time they saw something on the scale of what we're seeing in Israel right now. But it's not just that. It's the fact that that's going on and made you forget all about Russia and Ukraine. It's like that's not even registering any longer. Yet it's going on. And this world that we're living in, sometimes when I consider what Paul wrote, oftentimes people think Paul was writing to our day. Paul was writing to his day. It's just that it has application to our day. Hello, right? It was so bad in Paul's day. Paul told the church at Corinth, hey, some of you don't even need to get married. Tell that to a young person today. They will lose their lunch. They will tell you, Pastor, I know the devil is a liar. They will tell you. But Paul said it. Paul said, due to the current distress that's upon the church, he said, some of you will be better off remaining like me. Don't even get married, because those who have a wife are going to act like you have none. They're going to live like you have none because of the persecution and so forth. Anyhow, so as we continue in prayer and prayer increasing, amen, we continue praying on Tuesday evenings via Zoom in whatever way we can. And I pray, we pray for over Zoom, but then I have people call me during the week, and I pray with people during the week because, you know, that's how life is. Life requires prayer. Hello? Life requires prayer. And if you don't know that, just hang on. Just keep living. Keep living. Keep living. Bro. The day's coming. Daniel's called. Come on. Kweku's called. Hey. And I call. Amen. I call too. But I don't call me. I call Lord Jesus. Hey. Thank you, Father. And I call others, right? But we have to come to prayer. So we're praying Tuesday evenings. We're praying for those who are in authority in our nation, those who hope to come into authority, those suffering in wars around the world like never before. People always say, well, we're living in the last days. There's wars and rumors of war. Yeah, that's been going on since Jesus rose again. It's been going on. Paul taught the church at Thessalonica that Christ could come at any moment. It was true in his day, and it's been true every day in between. And it will continue to be true. It's just that it seems more true for us because we're in the throes of it. We're like, oh my goodness, Jesus got to be returning soon. You see the world? Yeah, every generation has experienced that. Every generation since the resurrection of Christ has experienced that. Why? Because it's been that bad. The spirit of Antichrist was in the earth in the book of 1 John. John preached about it. Said the spirit of Christ is already here. People said, oh, when is the Antichrist coming? I'm looking at him like, what are you talking about? Bro, you reading the book? Just read. No, the spirit of Antichrist is already here, been here. Don't be looking for some one person. Come on. The thing is here. And so, we're reading. We want to go and we want to make it like, well, this is the generation. He's coming back in a way. He could. Because he could have come when Paul was here. You know, he could have, and every generation in between. And if the Lord should tarry, we'll go on to be with him. And it'll be the next generation going, oh, the prior generation thought it was theirs. But it has to be our generation. Okay. Well, you know, could be. But the fact of the matter is that he is coming, and that when he comes, we shall be like him. When he comes, we shall love his appearing, Paul said. When he comes, we're going to be in the Son, and the Son's going to be in us. That's what matters. Okay? Doesn't matter if he comes in my generation. Lord, just keep me. Just keep me in you. Keep me in Christ. Above all things. So, that whole pervasive, that environment, we're living in that environment where it feels like the return of Christ is on the cusp. It feels like he could come. Yes, Lord. Yeah, and every other generation felt that too. And we'll feel it should the Lord tarries. But it's necessary. Why? So that the church would be prepared. What was it? First John said, he who has this hope in himself. What hope? That when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So that hope that Jesus is coming is a purifying hope, right? It purifies the church. It's that purity that causes us to get ready for his return. I want to be ready, Lord. I want to be ready. So we're praying for the church and for its obedience to Christ. Amen. Last week, it seems like time is just going so quickly. It just seems like we just celebrated 2023, January, coming in, and here it is going out. And things continue to just go so quickly, it seems. Tuesday was Halloween. Halloween, I've been here and gone just that quick. And Darian and I told you I was going to pray for me because I was going out to my neighborhood to pass out Bibles. I bought 100 Gideon Bibles last time they were here. I said, let me go out and buy me some Bibles because time getting short and people need the word. And let me go. And so Darian last week said, Pastor, you know, can I come with you? I said, hey, you come on, bro, because I'm getting out there. Look here. And so we got out there, and my street there, 84, I counted on, went on Google, pulled up, blew up the map, counted every house, boom, 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 boom. Yeah, 84, I got over 80 Bibles. And so we went door to door. Now, you know, not everyone's participating in Halloween. Some people put it on the trash can, put a little note right here. We do not participate in Halloween. I said, okay, hey, yeah, I get it. Anyhow, we go out, and we're passing out Bibles, went to the first house I went to, the woman looked at me, looked at the New Testament, said, no, thank you. I said, excuse me. She said, no, thank you. I said, okay, hey, that's cool. Whenever you do something for God, you're going to get rejection. But when you get rejection, also know that God's going to open the door for you. There will be people who say, some who say no. There'll be others who say yes. So we go around the whole neighborhood. The highlight of the evening was when every so often I would go up to a house, and you know how some people, they don't want to pass out the candy. They put out a bowl with the candy in it. And so I looked at the bowl, and I thought to myself, well, what did I do here? So I tossed the New Testament in the bowl. Hey, yeah, put the New Testament in the bowl. You got to come out and get your bowl, you know. And so I tossed the New Testament in the bowl, went on to the next house. So I'm going to the next house where there's no lights. It's totally dark. But I'm walking up in there anyhow because I'm passing out Bibles to my neighbors. It ain't about trick-or-treating. It's about Bibles. And so I'm walking up the steps of this house, and these two girls are standing, and it's up some stairs. These two girls standing at the bottom, they're looking at me like, hey, are you participating in Halloween? I looked around, I said, best as I know how? Yeah, I'm out here getting it done. What you doing? And they just looked at me, and then they walked on. They walked on to the next house. So I set a Bible at this door, and then I go down, and I go to the next house where these two girls are, where this guy's giving them all. This guy's got lights. He's putting lights in their bag. He's putting everything in their bag. I'm looking at this fella. And so while he's doing that, I walk up to him, and I put my arm around the door, and I hand him a New Testament. And the two girls looked at me and said, "Can we have one?" I was like, "Well, yeah." They said, "Well, we went over to the other house and we saw one in the bowl, but we didn't think we could take it." And I was like, "You want one?" I gave the girl, they look like twins. I gave the one girl a Bible, and the other girl said, "Well, can I have one? Can I have one?" I said, "Yes." I gave her a Bible, and here's what they were doing out on Halloween night. Thank you for giving me. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, for real. I was like, "Thank you, Father." These girls were so thrilled to get a New Testament. It was, I'd never experienced anything quite like that before. And so we saw them, as they were going, we were all going around the same area. We saw the mother, they kept thanking us. Thank you for giving us a New Testament. So we did my whole street and jumped over, went and did another street on the other side of the court that we were working on. So it was a blessed time to be, met all kinds of people. But was a blessing to be able to hand out a New Testament. And what does Isaiah 55 says, that the God's word will not return to him void? It shall accomplish that which he pleases. It shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. So we prayed over the word of God. Obviously, I've been praying over those Bibles for a couple months. I'm like, "Lord, that when the people read the word, it will change like it did you and I." The word of God had an effect upon us. So I thank God for that. Then, was it that same day or a couple of days after that, I had texted the superintendent, the district superintendent, and told him of our intention to stay in this building for at least the balance of the year. Of course, they wanted us out, in 30 days. And we were like, "Well, no, not really," because that'd be kind of rough. You know, we've been planning, we've been here all year, 30 days, and it's the holidays, you know. I said, "How about the end of the year? We think about the end of the year." I talked to Pastor Bill about it. Pastor Bill said, "Hey, well, if we do that, then we could, you know, in the interim before we get another location, we could do a Zoom meeting come January." And that's what we're going to be looking at, in just in case we don't have a physical situation to meet, building to meet in. We will go Zoom for a couple months and see if we can find something to get in into March or what have you. But that's the plan right now. We're going to be here till December 31st. And then the first Sunday in January, if we have another location, we'll go there. If not, we'll meet over Zoom until we get another building. Now, and as Paul said in, I believe it's Acts chapter 20, "None of these things move me." Hello. And that's where I got to when I, how many of you actually received the email I sent out from Steve Graham yesterday? If you got it and you were able to read it. If you didn't, I'll make sure that you get it. But Steve said something in there that I wanted to continue here. And it's just one little line that I wanted to go off. Because when you enter seasons like this and times like this, sometimes you can get moved. You can get shaken, you know. Hebrews, what is it, chapter 11. I think I read this Hebrews chapter 12. I read this a couple weeks ago. Sometimes you can get shaken by the things that go on in this life. But God never promised that everything would stay nailed down. Jesus told the man, he said, "Anyone who hears these words of mine, he is likened unto a man who built his house upon a rock." Okay? And that rock is Christ. And when the floods came and the winds blew, the only thing that wasn't moving was the rock. That was Christ. But guess what? Everything else was moving. Okay, in this life, let me tell you, everything moves. Everything moves. Health, relationships, buildings, where you live. Okay? All of these things, they move. They do not remain the same. So, Steve sent out this email yesterday, and he was talking about our building situation. And he was talking about how God used this church to support them all throughout the time that they were in Namibia, how it was a foundation for them, and how he wanted us to know that God, who was a foundation for them then, is the same God who's a salvation for us and our foundation now. And then at the end, he said this, and I look forward to my current situation changing. I look forward to my current situation changing. And that's what, as I was, Sister Leah called me this past week because things in her life were getting turned upside down, topsy-turvy, and all this. She said, Pastor? I'm like, yes, sister. She says, you know when I call you? I said, I do. She said, you know when I call you, things are going upside. I said, I do. Let's hear it, because you know how we're going to end this, right? You know how we're going to end this. Right? She's like, yeah. That's why I'm calling. I said, all right. So at the end, we went to the Father. And that's how we ended. Look here. That's how it's supposed to end, right? And so Leah, when she got done reading Steve's email, she didn't hit reply all, so you didn't get it. But Leah responded, said, I can't stop crying after what she read in his email. So I encourage you to read it. But I wanted to key in on this one thing. He says, I look forward to my current situation changing. And that's what I told Leah. I said, Leah, let me tell you, the one thing in this life that's guaranteed is change. And I went on talking, and I was talking, and I didn't hear her say anything. And I was like, sister, are you there? Tap, tap, tap. She's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm just trying to process what you just said. I said, what? She says, you said that the only thing that's here to stay is change. I'm like, mm-hmm. Get used to it, because life, that's the way life is, right? And you don't get to determine what happens. We react. We adapt, right? You don't get to determine what happens, but Jesus said, but you do get to determine what foundation you stand on. So look, the trials of life, it's not about the trials. It's part of the trials of life is so that we can determine what foundation we're standing on. That's sometimes why the trial comes. What was it? First Peter, where Peter said, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. That the trying of your faith, the trying of our faith is to prove the quality of that which Christ has done and what he's accomplishing in our lives. So he says, I look forward to my current situation changing so that I can get back to you. In other words, Steve can't be here right now because of a situation that he's going through, but that's going to change. Just like we're changing, just like where we're going to meet is going to change. I've been living long enough now. This is the beauty of age. I tell some people when I'm out and about, I said, regarding this body, I tell them, whatever you do, don't get old. Now, but regarding walking with the Lord, definitely get old. Because when you've been walking with the Lord for years, you know him. He's revealed himself to you. He's shown you who he is. And when he shows you who he is, he expects you to stand upon that which he showed you. He gives you a revelation of himself, right? So he expects us to hold on to that revelation. So a few words about change. A few words about change, and then that's it. I'm going to let you go. As I said, for you and I, it is here to stay. Everything is in motion, and everything is changing. The planets, the stars, the solar system, our galaxy. Did you know, Bill, help me if I get it twisted or whatever, but our galaxy, well, hold up, our solar system is orbiting our galaxy, and our galaxy is orbiting some other mass, and one of them is going at 66,000 miles per hour. We're flying through space right now. But then the whole universe is changing. Literally, it's expanding. And the astrophysicists say, what is it expanding into? Because they don't know. Right? But everything is changing. Everything he made is changing. John said in 1 John 2:17, he put it this way, and the world is passing away. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, all the desires of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Forever. So everything is changing. A few months ago, my left knee started to change. Glory. I told my family, I said, hey, went to a doctor on Friday. That woman pulled it and put twisted it, did this, did that. I was like, hey, watch it now. She said, she feeling around and everything. She said, how does this feel? I was like, hey, well, I said, I feel all right. I said, and I told her, she said, well, did you have an injury? I said, no, I didn't have an injury. And she said, well, how you think? I said, 30 years of cleaning carpet, cleaning upholstery, kneeling on this and that and the other thing. I just think it's, and so I ascribed everything to her. She says, okay, well, we're going to have an x-ray. But I know my knee has changed. People change. Hello? People change. Ask anybody who's married. Hello? People change. Therefore, that's why some marriages have trouble because people change. I don't know why Al and Tipper Gore stick to me. I guess because I saw it on TV, and some things I just don't forget when I see. I never forget Al and Tipper Gore. They were running for vice president at one point. They were for vice president under Clinton, I guess. And they said they were on television, and they said, we are getting divorced. We just grew apart. They grew apart. And I thought that was interesting. Change happened, and they grew apart. And I was wondering to myself, well, why couldn't you take a steel band and strap it around the two of you so that when you grew together, hey, instead of apart. Come on. But they said, no, we grew apart. I mean, I get it. Change happens. But we know change is going to happen. So we need to do something about the change that we know is going to happen. Right? But people change. People change. And marriages change and face uncertainty because people go through all kinds of things. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says times and seasons change. There's a time for everything and a season for every purpose under heaven. But a season is a measure of time. Seasons don't last, at least not where we live. Now, you go out in California, they say, no, it's the same way here year round. I say, that's no fun. Okay, you need to come out here complaining. What's going on right here? Isn't it beautiful? It's lovely. But you love the colors of the trees. Come on. We can't drive out here. It's okay. It's going to last for a second. You're good. But it's beautiful. It's change. Times and seasons change. COVID changed everything. COVID's like B.C. and A.D. That was before COVID, B.C. Come on. It's before COVID and it's after COVID. And it seems like some things have changed, not going back. It seems like some things not going back. Normal became a thing of the past. A pastor friend of mine who used to meet in the school, they used to meet in the school. I don't know how many years they were there, but during COVID, they got, of course, they closed down all the schools, and they couldn't have church, and they didn't have church for 3 years. They didn't meet together for 3 years. They did Zoom for 3 years. Well, finally, he took his two-car garage and built it out into a little meeting area, a little sanctuary. Now they have a place to meet. COVID changed things. COVID changed things. Daniel 2:21. Daniel says this about God. He changes the times and the seasons. He changes the times and the seasons. Some people say to COVID, the devil sent COVID. I'm like, are you serious? Are you serious? God is sovereign over all things. well, God doesn't kill. God doesn't kill. What Bible you reading, bro? Look, go to the book of Revelation and look at the four horses. Where they come? There's a revelation. Jesus is showing John a revelation. Here come the horse whose rider on his name, Death. He was sent out to kill. God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over the coronavirus. He's sovereign over everyone who lives or dies. If we learn anything from the book of Joel, we learn that. God told Satan, don't touch his life. You cannot touch his life. You can make him sick, you can do all that, but you can't kill him. Same God who said that about Joel said about Kweku, you can't touch him. You can go only so far and no farther. Why? Because I said it. Over your life, over my life. Why are we afraid? Who are we afraid of? We're not scared of the devil. No. Psalm 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Psalm 46:1 says, the Lord is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. I love that verse of scripture, because whenever I get in trouble, it says to me, God's present. So whenever I get in trouble, I'm turning to you. Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, God. Help me. Oh, God, help me. Psalm 31, verse 15. Man, I love this. My scripture here. My times are in your hand. Oh, my. I don't know what that does for you, but let me tell you what it does for me. My times, David said, are in your hand. Jesus says this, you are in my Father's hand, and no one can pluck you out of his hand. Huh? That's where my life and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, there's no one who can take my life unless God authorizes it. And if he authorizes, there's nothing I can do to keep it here. So I submit the way Christ went to a cross and he submitted, laid down his life. And he could do something about that. But he laid it down. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. And he laid it down. So everything is changing. We change our minds all the time. All the time. Matter of fact, we change our minds so much there's this little joke going on. You know, you've seen over the years. Well, I've experienced it. Going to a woman's house, we're going to clean the carpet. And the husband says, hey, my wife wants us to, could you help me move the sofa? She wants it moved to a different place. I said, okay, no problem. Just being nice, help people out. I could say, no, I'm here to clean the carpet. Keep it moving. Okay. No. I said, okay. He says, well, she wants it centered under this light. I said, all right. So we pick up the sofa. We move the sofa and put it down. And we look at her. She said, yeah, that's good. Then I turn around. What was she said, you know what? I was like, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Man, we were over there. I was like, lady, get it together. What? How do you want this thing? I'm here to clean the carpet. She kept changing her mind. She didn't know where she was. But things change. Biblical insight changes. Biblical insight changes. How many of you knew? I've shared this before. How many of you know that last year, Creflo Dollar, some of you know who Creflo Dollar is. Creflo Dollar stood up before his church and told his church, every book, every tape, every video I've ever taught on tithing, throw it in the trash. Everyone, throw them in the trash because they're not biblical. People say, well, he went on to them. People say, well, where you get that from? He quoted Romans 6:14. Now, you know, Romans 6 is talking about baptism. We're baptized with Christ. But he latched on to it. I'm like, I don't care. I do care where you get it from. But as long as it's biblical, it's great. But Romans 6:14 says, well, we are not under the law, but we're under grace. And that's where the light came on in his mind. He says, no, tithing. Now, as it relates to Malachi 3 and 10, where it says this, where it says that if you, that you are cursed with a curse if you hold back the tithe, that you are cursed. That's the curse of the law, right? Now, for him, it was Romans 6:14. For me, it was Galatians 3:13. All right? And for other places, it goes on and on and on. But why did he do that? Well, he did it because we change. We change. Biblical, listen, there's no one walking in perfect light right now. We walk in the light as he's in the light. And we have limited light. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1. He says, I pray that the Father of glory would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, so that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, so forth and so on, the inheritance of the saints and so forth. Can anyone tell me the last time I spoke on tithing? You can't. You know why? The last time I spoke on tithing, the title was Grace to Tithe. Grace to Tithe, which, you know, that won't make any sense right there. And that's why I chose the title. It's a contradiction. Grace to Tithe. I preached that sermon in 2009. In the year 2000, I preached a sermon titled Is Tithing for Today? That was 23 years ago. Unless you know where I was on tithing 23 years ago. Okay? Was I always in that place? No. Why? Because I was taught just like everyone else was. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, saith the Lord, and see if I will not pour you, open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive it. But you have robbed me. How have we robbed you? They say, in tithes and offerings. Wherefore you are cursed with a curse. But Galatians 3:13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hey, hey, we wonder why people be dancing in worship. Look, we don't worship simply out of emotion. Yeah, Lord, I feel good when I worship you. But when you worship according to revelation, what God has done for you, he has redeemed me from the curse of the law. It was the law that convicted man of sin. It was the law, and sin is what the devil uses as power. It's the only thing that could accuse us was sin. That's why when he came into the garden, he got Adam and Eve to do what? To sin. He had no power over them whatsoever. None. The only power he had, they had to give him. And they did it when they sinned. So, listen at this, what, just to show you how change, what I wrote in 2009 as God was, see, God is changing us right now. We're all on a journey. We're all on a journey. And God is changing us, and he's molding us, and he's making us. Sometimes we get upset with one another because what God is doing in that person. I wrote in 2009, Jacob's vow was voluntary. Genesis chapter 28, when after Jacob has this dream, he sees this ladder stretched up to heaven and so forth. God's at the top of the ladder. He says, in blessing you, I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations of the earth, the Abrahamic blessing that God spoke to him. And Jacob at the end of it says, I believe you're going to do all that you said you're going to do. And because of that, a tenth of everything I get, I'm going to give to you. I'm going to offer to you a tenth. That's where we get the teaching parlor of where we get the teaching of the tithe. Also Genesis 14, where Abraham gave a tenth of all his spoils. He gave to Melchizedek, the priest of God. We get the tithe from there too. But it's not till it comes to the law that we get the curse associated with the tithe, because there was no curse associated with Abraham. There was no curse associated with what Jacob gave. Why? Because they did it out of the fullness, what? Out of revelation to God. Remember, Melchizedek comes to Abraham when he's returning from the slaughter of the kings, and Melchizedek blesses Abraham. Hebrews says that the lesser is blessed by the greater. Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, but he blessed Abraham. He said, blessed be God who's caused you to overcome your enemies. And Abraham gave to him a tenth. Not compulsory. It wasn't a compulsory offering. It wasn't required. Abraham simply gave him a tenth. So when I say that tithing is not for today, do I mean that we don't give? No, that's not what the scripture says. Acts 20 and 35 says, blessed is, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus taught, give and it shall be given unto you. So we're not talking about you don't give. God is the greatest giver there has ever been. And those who are like him, guess what they do? They give. Right? So we're not saying that. Well, what we're saying, though, is that tithing and the curse associated with it. There's a pastor in Dallas who taught his people that if you don't tithe, you are arrogant. And if you don't tithe, you open yourselves up to the demonic. I looked at that. I just had no words. I'm like, Jesus, what is this? How do you say this? And then he said something that wasn't scriptural. He just said what he thought happens. Open you up to demons. I'm like, no, that's not the case. If there had been no revelation of God, there most likely would have been no vow from Jacob to tithe all that he had to God. Both in Jacob's case and in Abraham's case, what caused them to give a tenth was the revelation of God. He revealed himself to them. All that happened, all the change. See, so everything is changing. Biblical doctrine, everything is changing. But there's only one person who doesn't change. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Mike. Look, if he was good in the beginning, he's good now. If he was merciful, if he was ever merciful, he's merciful now. Why? Because he does not change. Huh? All these other things change, but he does not change. And he said to the children of Israel, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. He was talking about the fact that he doesn't change with regard to his mercies, which are new every morning. So you know how, not that we test God and take his grace for granted, but do you know how when you sin and you go to God and you've gone to him how many times? Well, we lost count. But you come again and you think, surely that's it. Surely he's going to cut me off. But he says, I do not change. The Lord's merciful. So let's hold fast to the one person who never changes, even though our circumstance is changing. He will lead us through every season of change. Be it a building, health, a marriage, or even life itself, he's going to lead us through. Amen? Let's stand. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the so great a salvation that you initiated, that before the foundation of the world, you chose us to be in Christ, blameless and without reproach before you. In love, you predestined us. And oh God, how we worship you, how we thank you, Lord, how we stand in awe of you, and how we, Lord, want our lives conformed, Lord, into the image of your Son. how we want to obey you, how we want to serve you, how we want to lift up your mighty name. Father, I lift up this church. I lift up, Lord, your people, these sheep, Lord, our marriages, our homes, our relationships, our jobs, everything that pertains to us. Lord, future spouses, children, and grandchildren, Darian and Melody's child in the womb. Oh, God, that's coming. Lord, for Abigail and Charles Sean, Lord, and other children that are yet to come. Father, we're praying for them now. Oh, God, that, Lord, when they come, oh, God, the godly seed, that they would serve you. They would know you. Lord, they would be faithful to you. We would be, oh, God, good parents and grandparents, and we would be godly, Lord, and serve the purpose of God in our generation. And that as long as you've given us breath, Lord, that we would walk with you and serve you and do your will to the glory of your great name. So, Father, we lift up this building situation and all that is in the whole transition. Lord, we lay it at your feet and we thank you, O God, that before the foundation of the world, Lord, you saw it, planned it, already have the answer. So we rest in Christ. Lord, as we work, oh Lord, to see your will accomplished, we ask all these things in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you real good.